What happened the night Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez died?
There needs to be some rest. There needs to be some closure.
We follow the leads on Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking forward later this hour to talking with John Wertheim of Sports Illustrated about his book, looking at the remarkable sports year of 1984. Of course, the LA Olympics were a breakthrough for the Olympic Games and how well organized they were and how profitable those games ended up being. But there was a lot else going on, too, with Magic Johnson and Larry Bird meeting for the first time in the NBA Finals, and Michael Jordan coming out of college in North Carolina, joining the Chicago Bulls with that big Nike contract in hand. So a lot going on in the world of sports that we'll talk about later this hour. But we begin with a Capital Public Radio investigation looking into what sorts of investments California has made in fire prevention efforts. Governor Newsom had touted a specific size of investment and what sorts of efforts were going to be made ahead of last year's devastating wildfire year. But the question is, what actually was done? Joining us is state government reporter for CAP Radio and the author of the piece that we're talking about, Scott Rodd. Scott, good morning to you.
Thanks so much for having me on.
So before we get into what the state's actually done, what did the governor promise would be done?
Sure. So our investigation had a few findings. When Newsom first entered office in early 2019, he identified these key wildfire prevention projects. And that includes things like forest thinning and prescribed burns. And their aim was to protect some of the most vulnerable communities in California. Now, he claimed that those priority projects treated 90,000 acres, but that's not true. CAL FIRE's own data shows that in reality, it was less than 12,000 acres, so just a fraction of what Newsom claimed. And then looking at the bigger picture, you know, not just those specific projects, we also found that the state's fire prevention work overall dropped by about half last year, which, as you noted, was one of the worst wildfire seasons on record. And during that time, Newsom had slashed about $150 million from the state's wildfire prevention budget.
And is there any explanation for why the governor did that? Was this strictly a financial decision, or what went into this?
So the financial outlook for the state at that time was pretty grim. You know, we were in the middle of COVID-19. There was a ton of uncertainty, and the state was staring down $54 billion deficit. And so they had to make cuts across the board. So that was one area where they made cuts. And you know, some folks have reacted with surprise to that. Some people have said, you know, we're surprised that that's an area that they would look to cut, considering, you know, just how dangerous and deadly wildfires have become in California. Other folks have said, well, you know, those cuts had to be made across the board, and they cut some slack for the governor.
I was wondering, Scott, about the acreage differential that you mentioned. Where did this much higher number that the governor used come from?
So the state had identified these projects, again, early on in Newsom's tenure, both the governor and CAL FIRE. And, you know, I've been trying to pin down exactly where this difference came from. And I spoke with Tom Porter. He's the head of CAL FIRE, and he said that those projects had originally identified 90,000 acres for treatment. But he said it became clear very early on they were not going to have the clearances they needed, both in terms of environmental clearance, but also agreements with landowners, because some of these projects overlapped with private land. So they did they did portions of the projects they were able to do, and portions of the projects they believed would help protect the rest of that land. And still, despite them only doing 12,000 acres, it's important to note that Newsom came out afterwards when he proclaimed that the projects were finished and said that the 90,000, the full scope of the projects, had been treated. So that's what we are holding him accountable to. We wanted to see, well, just how much had actually been treated. And it's also worth noting CAL FIRE told the public in a fact sheet that 90,000 would be treated. So this was the language that was used. And when we say treated, we mean actually work getting done on them, not just being protected. Again, CAL FIRE has come back since then and said, hey, look, the work that was done has protected this land, which is fine if that is the case, protecting vulnerable communities here. But again, we're holding these folks accountable to the words they were using and the language they were using at the time in talking to the public.
Scott, in your reporting, you quote Chief Porter, the head of CAL FIRE, where he essentially takes responsibility for the incorrect acreage that the governor cited. But he stood right behind the governor in that news conference where that 90,000 acres was used, right? And so... is it clear that this originated at CAL FIRE?
So in our interview, I asked multiple times to Tom Porter, you know, where did this, how did this 90,000 acre number, how is this presented to the public? I said, where was the miscommunication? What happened here? And what he told me was that, you know, there needed to be improved communication between CAL FIRE and the governor's office. And he said, that's on us to communicate more clearly to the governor and to the public about what it means when acres are treated versus when they are, you know, just protected. And, you know, he had also said that this was something that, again, they scoped out wanting to tackle these 90,000 acres to begin with, but that's not what was completed. And he did not dispute, it's important to note, I presented these findings to him, and he said, I don't dispute that this 90,000 acre figure is what was given to the public.
All right. We're talking with Scott Rodd, state government reporter for CAP Radio, who's author of this investigative piece, research also done with NPR's California Newsroom as well. With us, California Natural Resources Secretary Wade Crowfoot. Thank you very much for being with us. What effort is being made to try and build on this acreage ahead of potential wildfires this summer?
Well, quite a lot, really, on all fronts. It's good to be with you. And I'd share maybe at the highest level that many of us know that one in four Californians lives in an area that has a high risk for wildfire. And as a result, state leaders have been focused on what is really a paradigm shift, not only strengthening the response capacity of CAL FIRE to respond to these wildfires that we're facing, but the paradigm shift is really doing much more upfront proactively to reduce the risk of wildfires in California becoming very large and catastrophic. And that includes a focus on supporting work within communities like defensible space projects and home hardening to make homes less flammable. Work around communities, which includes these fuel breaks that we're talking about today. And then work across broad landscapes to ensure that we have healthy forests, healthy chaparral environments to reduce the risk of wildfires becoming catastrophic. Legislators from all over the state, the governor, both political parties agree that we have to do more of this upfront proactive work moving forward.
In addition to the fire breaks, prescribed burns were a part of this, if I'm not mistaken. And I know that's always controversial with nearby communities who are concerned about prescribed burns getting away and escaping the area to which they're supposed to be contained. But is the state ramping up its prescribed burns, or are the forests so dry that it's dangerous to do more of those?
Well, it's a great question. And just for the listeners, you know, wildfire is a natural part of California's environment. So part of our challenge now is, of course, rising temperatures from climate change, but also a century of policy of trying to exclude fire from our landscapes. So as you point out, there's a lot we need to do on our landscapes to actually bring them back to health and reduce the risk of catastrophic wildfire. Prescribed fire, that is controlled low-intensity fire, is part of that. So absolutely, we're working to scale up prescribed fire and reduce barriers. There have been all sorts of barriers that have been put in place over recent decades that make it difficult to do that prescribed fire. So we are actively focused on scaling up safe, controlled prescribed fire across the state where it makes sense.
Now, when you say barriers, do you mean bureaucratic or property ownership issues? What are those barriers?
Well, some are that these prescribed fires create smoke, which does impact air quality across the state. And we have really strong organizations in place called regional air quality control boards to really protect air quality. And historically, controlled fires have been a real problem for these regional air boards because for a temporary basis, they worsen the air quality. But we're working constructively with those air boards to figure out when it makes sense to allow these prescribed burns, because we recognize that if we don't do more, we're going to have smoke seasons like we've had the last couple of years, which create unhealthy conditions across the board. There are also questions or challenges around legal liability for these prescribed fires that, again, legislators, ourselves, the insurance commissioner are actively working to resolve.
Yeah, I actually remember being in Yosemite on a vacation when a prescribed burn outside the park got away and ended up being quite a large wildfire. So we certainly know that that can happen. And I hadn't thought of this as obvious as it is, Wade, as you're talking about this, but you have to do prescribed burns when there's not much wind, right? Because you don't want embers getting away. But that also means that smoke isn't going to be dispersed. It's going to be much more highly concentrated, causing an air quality issue.
Yeah, those are the challenges, which is really trying to find these so-called burn windows where their conditions are safe to be able to burn. You know, last year, of course, we had the worst wildfire season in history and the pandemic. So obviously, major challenge to getting work done last year. But I'm really optimistic, actually, that moving forward, that all of the folks and the organizations that have authorities are focused on how do we introduce these safe, controlled, prescribed burns back onto the landscape.
We're talking with California's Natural Resources Secretary Wade Crowfoot. Also with us from Stanford University's Woods Institute for the Environment, Director of Woods Climate and Energy Policy Program, Michael Wara. Thank you very much for being with us. Again, your thoughts on where California stands in the way of its mitigation efforts for wildfires.
Well, I think the thing to recognize is that this is a long-term project. It's going to take years to get where we need to go. And the institutions and the strategies that need to shift have been in place for a long time. I see a lot of change happening at the state level. Actually, where I'm most concerned is at the federal level, where I think the U.S. Forest Service and the BLM are not moving fast enough. And they own more than half the forest in California. So we need to be pushing our federal partners to do more and to allocate especially more money, like the state is doing, like the governor proposed and the Senate and the Assembly approved in terms of early action spending this year. We really need to be doing more. I think the reporting is really interesting, especially in terms of the illustration of how the intensity of the fire seasons that we're experiencing are taking personnel away from this critical risk reduction mission and putting them on the fire line fighting wildfire. And we need to think strategically about how to create a workforce. And the state is doing this. It's in the early stages of doing this, but how to create a big workforce whose only job, whose sole mission are these critical, you know, fuel reduction projects.
What about the firefighters who have been serving in minimum security detention facilities, who've been an important part of firefighting, with so many people who've been released from prison and lower level offenders not being incarcerated for the most part in California? How big a cut has that been to the firefighting force?
Well, it's a significant loss of manpower. You know, we need all the firefighters we can get. I think it gets at a bigger question, though, and this is one that, you know, again, Cal Fire is ahead of relative to our federal partners, how we compensate and support our wildland firefighting workforce really needs to change, because the fire seasons that our firefighters are experiencing are just fundamentally different than the ones that the kind of labor model that we've had were predicated upon, right? The firefighting workforce is really struggling with mental health issues, with they're maintaining their family relationships because they're away from home for so much of the time. And we really need to be moving away from kind of a seasonal workforce approach to year-round support for our firefighters. Cal Fire is doing this, has been doing this for a couple of years with the support of the governor, you know, move gradually shifting in this direction. I think the federal government has a long way to go. And again, right, you know, when they don't have manpower on their fires, they turn into giant catastrophes that then burn out of the federal estate and onto private lands in the state of California. And then it's Cal Fire's responsibility. So we really do need to be pushing everyone to be recognizing the scale of the challenge and spending more money, unfortunately, right? You know, climate change, we always hear climate change is expensive. This is one of the ways that climate change is going to be expensive. Another way, you know, PG&E hardening its grid. But one way is we need to spend more money on wildland firefighting and on avoiding catastrophic fires by, as Secretary Crowfoot, I thought, really did a nice job of explaining, you know, getting a restoring the natural fire regime in California forests.
It seems like also because we've had so much drought regionally beyond just California, that getting the kind of mutual aid assistance that we've typically had for fires here, that's got to be much more challenging. And Wade Crowfoot, California Natural Resources Secretary, maybe you can speak to that labor challenge with so much of the West in fire threat.
Absolutely. So the entire American West, or most of the American West, is experiencing severe drought. And the scale and scope of this drought across the region is almost unprecedented in modern history. That means dangerous wildfire conditions across 9 states in the West. And as you point out, oftentimes the states that are hardest hit on a wildfire in any given month rely on firefighters coming from other states. So we have, you know, some real challenging conditions this summer. Now, the good news is I agree with Mr. Wera that we are, you know, requesting more resources from our federal partners to actually get in there and more proactively manage the federal forests. The good news is they've taken steps in the right direction and are putting more resources there. But the fact remains that we're simply not going to be able to respond our way out of the wildfire crisis. We have to continue to put more resources to the men and women on the ground fighting these fires, but we also have to do more proactive upfront actions like these fuel breaks and these prescribed burns.
All right. Thank you so much. That's California Secretary of Natural Resources Wade Crowfoot. My thanks to Stanford University and the Woods Institute for the Environment there, Michael Wara, and Scott Rodd of CAP Radio, state government reporter, whose investigative efforts brought this to our attention about what the governor had committed to, 90,000 acres of fire prevention efforts here in California, which was just a fraction of that. And of course, we'll continue to closely follow the story, as will CAP Radio, based in Sacramento. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC, the KPCC app, and streaming always, kpcc.org. Coming up, we'll talk about efforts to house those living in encampments on the Venice Boardwalk. There's a new initiative to try and do so. We'll talk about that when we return in 1 minute.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.